we talked mostly about the word Baruch, which we explained means an increasing or a furthering. And when we bless Hashem, that means we're pledging to further Hashem's will. And I showed you a few examples of how that plays out in early brachas in the Siddur. On the Tefillah Shadayim, you're raising your hands, you're committing to make use of your activity in the world, Hashem Hashem. Asher Yotza, you're committing to, you're using your body, Hashem Hashem. Berachas HaTorah, that the study should be meaningful, and that should lead to action, not just knowledge. So I'm going to show you some more of that today. We'll see how far we get. I don't want to go past everyone's bedtime. We'll see what we can cover in a short period of time. So I'm just going to use the Her Sitter and just prove my point that of how consistent he is with taking this idea that it's not just a random thing he said once or twice, but he really builds the Sitter around this idea. By the Bracha of Elokai Neshama, where he goes along the lines of what the Mechaber writes in the Shulchan Aruch about the fact that our neshamas are bound up with our body, and while we're alive, it's sitting in this body. So he mentions that there's this struggle between the soul and the body. Let me just read his words. On the one hand, the soul is an independent entity, completely different from the body by its very nature. On the other hand, body and soul, while they may be temporarily separated from each other by death, they have been intimately bound together by divine providence, so that jointly they may serve him throughout life. This thought should indeed urge upon us the moral uplifting, purification, and sanctification for eternity of even the sensual aspects and physical functions of our body. So I believe that he's saying enough to give us what to think about when we're making the pledge. If I have not, someone's coming in, I should leave them. Okay, here we go. So that the idea of hearing about all these aspects of the soul is to realize the soul is stuck in the body, and we have to make room for both. We have to allow for the body to find its place in its spiritual, with its spiritual partner, the neshama. So that's too the pledge, that I'm going to realize the lofty job my body has, knowing that there's a neshama that's asking for it to be uplifted, for the body to be uplifted. So then, before he goes through the list of all the birchas hashacha, he just says a general paragraph, and then we'll get into those brachas. How am I sure we talk? We're talking about Hirsch's types of the word baruch, which means a pledge and a commitment, according to Hirsch's translation, and we're showing how it plays out throughout the city. So, right before Birchas HaShacha, I'm just going to read you these words. When we first awakened, our thoughts were immediately directed upon our own body with its wondrous construction, and upon our soul with its divine purity and purpose. And we were impelled to renew our pledge of loyalty, and he writes, Baruch, there's that word Baruch, for God. Here, we're given a number of special factors, and means the list of brachas and brachas HaShacha, that also present themselves to us now that we're fully awake, and that summon us once more to renew our promise, again with the word Baruch, as indicated by the term Baruch. So, black and white, that's what he's doing here. He's not beating around the bush, he's saying over and over again, I understand Baruch in a pledge, and we'll look at the different pledges that we're making. So the first thing he talks about is the ability to know the difference between night and day, that daytime is a time of activity and nighttime is a time for the body to renew itself. And there too, to appreciate that this renewed, first of being up and around again, having just recovered, to thank Hashem for having allowed us to re-energize ourselves, but it's also a realization that he designed the world in such a way that now we're up and going, let's do something with our day. That's a commitment. The next three brachas are Shalosh Ani Goy, Shalosh Ani Ovid, Shalosh Ani Isha. I don't know what any women here hear about these brachas. If you heard negative things, it's all a mistake. It's very simple. These three brachas are a set. Mahalacha, they've proven to be a set, because if you skip one, you go to the next one, you don't do the first one before that. They're essentially saying, thank you for the mitzvahs that I have, and I'm pledging to try my best to live up to them. And Shalom Asani Goy is, I don't have those, that level of mitzvahs. Eved and Isha also have different amounts of mitzvahs than a man does. Now, why don't we just say in the positive that you made me a free man, free Jewish man, because we don't have the chutzpah to think that we're necessarily going to live up to all this. So we say it almost with embarrassment, without saying in a positive way, I am ready to go, I'm all this. We kind of hold back in the way we put it. And women who realize they don't have both mitzvahs, they're still, I'm committing myself to what you've given me, the simcha. It's no, there's no negativity here, there's no problems with this. We're happy, but again, the point that I'm trying to get to is the pledge, that we appreciate the mitzvahs we have, we pledge to live up to our best to do those mitzvahs. So then there's some more mitzvahs that he talks about. Randomly, just go through it quickly. Sight, ability to see, clothing, the use of our limbs to stand upright. We have ground to walk on. We have shoes. Also we call tattoos our shoes. That we have the ability to walk all over the place, so our shoes are going to protect us. That we have muscles that work. Ozer Yisrael the Guru says an interesting thing about having a belt. He says that the belt is based on halacha, so we can't have liboros erva. We have to distinguish between our upper half and our lower half. And here too, I'll just read you his words. This is to remind us of the dual nature inherent within us, the physical and the sensual, which chiefly resides in the lower half of our bodies, and the moral and spiritual, which is primarily served by the upper half. We are thus warned, shaloye liboros erva, that the physical, sensual aspects of our persons remain subordinate to the moral and spiritual. So it's not just like it's not nice to have your brain and your lower half in the same place, but it's a message, it's a moral message, how we understand it. So that your mind should be in control of all aspects of your body, your spiritual. So that this latter part of our personality may demonstrate its might to dominate our physical urges. And this is the might with which the Jew should be girded. That's the Ozer Yisrael the Guru. So it's a commitment to that. Using your mind and your spirit in how you conduct your body. The next bracha, Otei Yisrael B'Sefara, he said it's true that we're going to commit to using our mind, so what are you going to use your mind for? So I don't know how to answer this for women. I think he doesn't talk about this here. We wear something on our heads. So having that on your head reminds you to remember that it's not just your brain, but there's something above you to remain humble and how you use the fact that we thank Hashem that He's there to keep us in check. It's not just about what we figure out. As he says, the Jew symbolically expresses this idea by keeping his head covered, and in this subordination to God, he finds his own honor. I don't know, is it the shekel? Is it, I don't know. I don't think that's what it means here. He just doesn't say an explanation for women in this book. Sorry. I was looking for it, I was thinking about it. He doesn't offer anything. I don't know. Did he tell his wife not to say the bracha? I don't know. Just has nothing to offer for women. Usually he says things and he has what to say. And then obviously, the strength to go into life now that we're strong for the day. And the next one is to have Hashem help us become accustomed to His Torah and to help us meet the challenges of the struggle within our own Yetzirah of not necessarily living up to that. And that within us, we shouldn't have things coming at us or within our own selves that we shouldn't have a Yetzirah there. Get in the way. And he says something nice here about appreciating that Hashem has been there helping us make it through the early struggles. We view every such evidence that Hashem has helped us make it through and get used to His Torah and to be better as evidence of divine assistance, as another proof of God's love. And we pledge, if the word Baruch again, we pledge to appreciate His favor and put it to proper use. So he's being extremely consistent. It's a whole idea of, look at what I've got. What am I going to do with that? I commit to use it, l'shem Hashem. La'olam heyadam ureshamayim. So that whole section, I'm not going to get into all history of it, but I think it's in Igeris Bereshit Ribon. He talks about when this bracha was written. Essentially, there was a time when they didn't allow us to say Kriya Shema in public. They even had guards sitting in shul, making sure they were there. They knew how lucky they stayed there until Zman Kriya Shema, and they wouldn't allow us to say Shema in public. They didn't like the idea of one God. They believed in two gods, the power of the light and dark, and the Zoroastrians and Babel. There was a lot of that. I believe that's what he was talking about. And in the meantime, Chazal designed this bracha for us to say something and to make sure we say Krishna at the right time. And I remember reading that they did insert it into Hazaras HaShaat in Kedusha of Shabbos Musaf. There is Kadosh Kadosh, and we do say and Shema Yisrael is in there too. Why is it in there? Because even though it's passed my Krishna by then, well, who knows how long this decree is going to last for? And what happens if we go, this goes on for too many years and people forget the concept of saying Shema in public? So they inserted it there, just when by then the kids are ready, all the families, the kids come at the end of davening to join, you know, the father and shul, so they'll come up to Kiddush later. So they did that back then too. So they inserted Shema there so that it shouldn't be forgotten, the concept of Kriya Shema in public. And then when this happened, and this guy, the king who decreed this, Yazdegard was his name, Bala Panine is the words of the Shri Rama, some serpent, it was a crocodile or something, swallowed him up and he died. And then that was the end of the decree. But to remember the Nais, they kept it in Chazal Sashant of Moses, and I guess they kept this to Lavan Heyad and the Nereish Shemayim. So here Hirsch basically says that this is a pledge, this whole La'olam is a pledge of belonging to the Jewish nation, because he talks about Mekadosh Hashem Chavarabim. So the fact that we can do this in public is part of our mission, national mission. It's not just every individual Jew should pledge allegiance to Hashem, but as a group, as a public, this is our joy to be Chayasol together. So that's briefly what he says there. Now let's zoom ahead to Baruch Shammai. There's more of that. I'm skipping a lot, but that's, I really want to focus mostly on the word Baruch to see how it plays in. But Baruch Shammai, Baruch is a very popular word in Baruch Shammai. It appears 13 times, as a matter of fact, the word Baruch. You count them, I checked. So 13 times. I'm sure there's some mystical reason for why the 13 is Yigyum and Yudhu and Hashem, and who knows what else. Well, the mystics will probably chat that. I don't know the mystical stuff. But Baruch Shammai, and that's where David will give a share on that one day. Why there's 13 mentions of Baruch Shammai, Baruch and Baruch Shammai. But Hirsch understands this beautifully along his theme of a pledge. And he says over here something interesting. This is the introduction to what he calls Tehillah. Sukkot Zimah is a lot of praises of Hashem. What's the purpose of praising Hashem? So he says that the very first Tehillah in our history was Shiras Hayam. After we got on the other side of the Yam Suf, Chayasol sang Oz Yashir, and that was the first national Tehillah. And in there is the phrase that Hashem is Nora Tehillos. He is awesome, fearful in praising Him. So I'll just read you his words on that. They declare that Yira, God-fearing obedience, must be the fruit of all our Tehillos, of all the songs and praise of the mighty deeds through which God revealed His greatness. All our hymns, all our praises are empty if they are not employed to promote the active service of God in everyday life or to engender the fear and obedience of Him. And if lip service should actually be deemed a substitute for such conduct, then it is nothing short of blasphemy. So over and over again in Baruch Shammai, as we set out to praise Hashem and all of His deeds, we remind ourselves there better be a commitment over here to something you're going to live up to. And each one of these aspects of Hashem, whatever they may mean, that He's the creator, that he says, He decrees, He has rahmanas in the world, He cares about every individual, He's fair, He gives reward to everybody, He lives forever, He saves people, all of that. With each phrase of what Hashem is, over and over again, what am I going to do about that? The word Baruch. Hashem, your will be furthered through me. And I understand all this about you. That's going to change who I am in my relationship to you. I'm going to go deeper and deeper into my commitment. So, over and over again, I'm just going to you know, without getting to the translations of every phrase, at the end of Bar Shama, he writes, he is Melech Mehulah Batishbachos. Every hymn of praise we sing to him makes us recognize and acknowledge him as our King in ever-deepening sincerity. We pledge to him, Baruch Atah Hashem, that we will render him our tribute of homage by consecrating our lives with ever-growing intensity to him and to his service. So every time you say the word Baruch over and over again, there's what to think about. I'm deepening my commitment to what is my relationship with Hashem as I realize what I'm saying about Hashem. Just like the Kriyas Yamsuf, when they saw this about Hashem, this creates fear, and fear meaning which leads to obedience and following the Ratzon Hashem. So that's a whole approach that he has to the beginning and the end. He says the same thing by Yishtavach. I'm going to just fast forward for a second to what he writes there. Just a second. By Yishtavach, just at the end there, he says almost the same idea. Vows of obedience and vows of thanksgiving, right? Brachos sahados. So again, the word brachos, he translates as vows of obedience. And for those, a vow of thanksgiving shall be dedicated to God now and forever. Right? So, to him who we now acknowledge as our God, as the shaper of our destinies and the guide of our conduct, even as our fathers knew him to be such in the past. And again, he says, the hymns of praise that we have uttered are not to remain empty words. Their fruit should be the vow symbolized by the word Baruch, the solemn pledge of faithful and gladsome fulfillment of his will. This we hereby pledge to him who is the fount of all power, God of all life, etc., etc. But you get the point. I want to share with you something that has always made me smile. When I say Ashrei, you know, Hirsch has a very famous, he talks about a lot of Tehillim in his parish of Tehillim, but this particular one, and by the way, all of Tehillim that he mentions, or that he already wrote a sefer about when he set out to write the parish of Tehillim on Siddur, he didn't bother writing in his commentary to the Siddur. But his son, when they published the Siddur, gave a brief summary as to what he wrote in his parish of Tehillim. So really, everything he says here, you can find expanded in his commentary to Tehillim. Although it's great to hear a summary, I find it very helpful to hear his children summarizing his works to get to the core of what he's really saying. So he starts with one main point. We'll just today just talk about Ashrei, and I think next week we'll talk about the five capitals film of Hallelujah, very briefly, and what they're trying to achieve. So everybody knows the famous Shtick of Torah that all the letters of the Aleph Beis are here in Ashrei, minus the Nun, which Nun, it fell out, it disappeared, except it does appear. As I'll say that David HaMelech, when he wrote this, he somehow knew that the right word, when talking about God and his relationship with us, if there would have been a Nun, it would have meant Nefila, falling. And Hashem didn't want to talk about, or David didn't want to talk about that, but he did, the Ruach HaKodesh, find the right place for it in the next passage. Samach Hashem will fall on Nefila. That Hashem supports all those that fall. So this is not just a nice verse, but it really is thematic of what is David Mel's whole point in the whole capital. It's not just one little thing. And that point of the whole capital of Hillel of Ashrei is to notice that Hashem is tov, that Hashem is filled with chesed and kindness. If people fall, Hirsch writes, we usually think, most people think that if I'm climbing, I'm succeeding. Unfortunately, people have a mistaken idea. I did that. If I made it in business, if I succeeded in something, I got 100 on the test, it's because I studied hard. Thanks to me. And if something didn't go right, well, why did God do that to me? But David said it's really the opposite. When things aren't going right, you ought to be attributing that. Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you're just not capable. And when you find a way, so that's Hashem picking you up. Hashem is always trying to make good things happen. To that, with that view, have a look at some of the other sukkim. Maybe some of you have heard me share this with you before, but it's so worth repeating. So he says, in his Kapitel, in his Parash on Tehillim, so the first few sukkim are really just an introduction, and Tehillim is over, it starts there, and again some introductory sukkim. And then it starts with Gadol Hashem. That's really where the Kapitel really starts and ends. So, Gadol Hashem, and Hashem is called the Chesed. And Hu Lamad is worthy of praise because of this Chesed. V'l'gulaso. And this Chesed, in Cheker. There's no limit. You can't really ever comprehend how kind Hashem is. Now watch this. Dor l'dor, one generation to the next. Yishabach ma'asecha. They will praise your deeds. So what are they going to do? How are they going to praise your deeds? U'kavurosecha yagidu. That's the year that they will, Yagidu, they will say about your power. So the general perception of God out there in the world, not the Jewish perception, but the general thinking about what is this power of God, they'll talk about scary hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and who knows what, and illnesses and plagues. Look at God's might. Look what he can do. He can drown the Egyptians. That's something. That's one generation to the next when they want to talk about God. Says David, though, that's not what I want to talk about. Hadar kavod hodecha, the divrenus lo secha, asicha, there's the aleph. That's what I want to talk about. So I will express in meditation the beauty of the glory of your majesty and the words of your wonders. David's saying, I don't want to look at the negativity. They cower in fear of you, and they think you're scary and mean. That's not our relationship with God. God gave us a Torah to follow and to get guidance and get kindness from it. And all those scary things are to keep us in check, but God's kind. And it goes on the same thing in the next passage. Ve'ezuz neresecha yomeru. That's the art they will speak about, ezuz neresecha. That's the invincibility of your awesome acts. That's scary stuff, your awesome acts. Naira. But Ubidulasukha, and he said that God means chesed, Ubidulaspa suffering, that's what I want to talk about, your chesed. So the whole capital, the theme is realizing that Hashem is filled with kindness and is looking to help us. And you know that the highlight of the whole this whole parak is Posecha Sadecha, Maskil Fakaiwatsun. That you're constantly looking to satisfy everybody with exactly what they need. It's just a view of the world that's so different. And some people get wrapped up in, why me, it's not right. And David is opening our eyes every day to looking for the good. Look what Hashem is doing for us. It's all very positive. And keep in mind what we said in the beginning of all this. There's a lot of tehillos here. There's a lot of praising of Hashem. But it's not just enough to say, God is kind, God is nice. But there's an expectation. There's a bracha in the beginning, there's a bracha in the end. The word baruch means, knowing all this, I appreciate it, and I now pledge to do something about it. So part of the pledge is a pledge to have this relationship with Hashem, to look at Hashem this way, to appreciate that Hashem is kind. But obviously the next thing is more than that. If Hashem is kind to me, what should I do about that? What does that mean? What are the expectations for my son? So that's just a brief, really brief, just short way to look at it. The truth is that nobody can daven for another person. Everyone's got their own set of emotions. So next week we'll talk about the five halakhos very briefly, just to give a theme and a concept, because that's the core of Sukkot Zimri. But as Shlomo Vova writes in his, he has 10 prachim in the subject of Tefillah, and he writes in the introduction that he doesn't want to give you peirushim to the words. Because if we want to find out, if you look up the Siddur HaGdol, you'll find lots of explanations for words. The point really, he says, is to find an avenue of to open up your emotions, to start thinking along these lines. So I don't think Hirsch mentioned every time you say the word Baruch, this is the precise way you should tell your mind to think these thoughts. It's very fluid, and it grows over time, and depending on your mood, what's going on is what you do with it. But it's, I'll believe that next week when we get to Birchas Kriyas Shema, we're going to have what to talk about. Yatzar has its own little thing, but we're going to get more deep when we get into Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kadosh, and Mikama. I don't know if I'll be able to get it all in, but Hirsch has the most, to me, the most, I went over this Shabbos, it's profound and beautiful to hear what's going on with those two parts of Navi, Zechariah and, sorry, Yecheskel and Yeshaya, with those two psukim up here. So, Valina, that'll be next week. We'll get to at least the creation of the first part. Okay. We're good? So, every time, I hope that I apologize last week, and I meant it, because if you take this seriously, it creates a real problem when you're davening. Because how do you think all these thoughts while everyone's moving too quickly? A problem. And I don't have an answer, but that's a good problem to have. Otherwise, we should all be thinking so much that we don't know what to do. Who's it, the Yaisi that said? He needed to say thank you to his head for bowing by Modim, because he was facing out. But his head knew that he was supposed to bow at that moment. So he was I don't know if he was joking or serious, but most of us, you know, we wake ourselves up somewhere in the middle of davening and say, yeah, better focus. You know, the idea of davening is to daven well, it's a problem, because we tell kids, we train them, you know, third, fourth, fifth grade, you know, did you daven? Yeah, I davened. Very good. Give a kid a gold star for davening good. What does davening good mean to a fourth grader, a fifth grader? You said all the words. That's what davening is. You say all the words. But that's got nothing to do with davening. Davening is a relationship with Hashem that you're growing in. So this is a key to how to begin to grow, to have a vayda to believe. Thinking about this word throughout davening, and there are plenty of places where Baruch appears, is what to think about. What am I saying here to be pledging about? It's an anchor that can help you remind yourself to wake up and think a little bit.